All right, I call your attention to the PowerPoint screen because I did something cool here. See if you get the symbolism behind this as I bring the title in. Untangling the Vine. Ooh. It's not going to get any better than that, folks. So I have been thinking a lot about onions this week. Anybody else? No? Nelson, probably because of the same reason that I'm going to mention here, has been thinking of onions as well. On Wednesday, I had a nice meal in the evening just moments before I came to church council. I did saute some onions and peppers and put them on a nice turkey sausage sandwich, and I consumed that sausage sandwich before coming to the council meeting, and I apologize to everybody that sat beside me because I smelled like onions for the rest of the evening. But that's not why I've been thinking about onions. I've been thinking about onions this week because of the temperature change. As I look out at you all here today, I see a number of you are... I'm getting there. I see that a number of you are wearing sweaters and jackets. You are putting on layers of clothing. I put on layers the other day to work outside a little bit. I had my t-shirt and a sweatshirt on. Many of you are wearing multiple layers. If it gets warm, you can pull off a layer and be a little bit cooler, much like an onion. And today we are going to talk about some onion theology. We're going to learn a little bit about the scripture that Garland read for us, because I think that scripture is a lot like an onion. We're going to start pulling off some layers. And this is a parable, so the parable isn't straightforward. I think we need to dig deeper and deeper to get at what Jesus is trying to teach us with today's parable. So the first thing I want to do is to walk through this parable again, line by line, and start pulling off layer by layer. Because you see, parables, one of the beautiful things and frustrating things about parables is that they can be interpreted in a number of different ways. And sometimes more than one of those ways is correct. So let's start by looking at this parable. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that the kingdom of God is like a landowner who owned a vineyard. Now, the kingdom of God is a phrase that we hear quite frequently, or actually in our text today, he says kingdom of heaven. And those words are synonymous. They can be exchanged one for another. But the kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a landowner that is going into the city to look for workers for his vineyard. Now, evidently, it must be harvest season. The harvest must be plentiful because this guy needs a lot of workers. So he goes into the city and he finds these people who are just what we would call day laborers. They are there looking for work. They're looking for somebody that will come and pay them to do a job that they can do. So the landowner comes into the city. He finds these workers and he says to these gentlemen, and they were probably all gentlemen, men worked in the first century. He said to them, "Will you come and work for me for the day? If you do, I'll give you a denarius." Now, a denarius, this is important. A denarius was the average pay for one day's work. One day's work. If you worked for somebody for one day harvesting grapes in their vineyard, they would probably give you a denarius. It's a coin probably about the size of a quarter. If you worked for all day long, you would get one of these, not one of these, but something like this. And this would be about enough to buy you enough food for your family for one day. If you got a denarius, you could feed your family. You could put clothes on their back, a roof over their head, and probably nothing more. A denarius was enough to get by for one day, nothing more and nothing less. So the landowner goes to these gentlemen, and they agree that they will work for him for the day at 6 a.m. through the end of the day for one denarius. Well, after 3 hours have passed, this man realizes that there isn't enough laborers there to get the job done. So he goes back into the city and he finds more workers. It's about 9 a.m. and there's people standing around. They're looking for work. And he says to them, "Come and work for me." And this time he tells those workers, he says, "If you come work for me, I will pay you what is fair, what is right." Some versions say what is just. He doesn't specify how much he'll give them. He says, "I'll pay you what is fair." So they agree to do this. And then this guy again finds out he doesn't have enough workers at noon, and then again at 3. And each time he goes back to the city, he finds more workers. He brings them back to his vineyard. He puts them to work. They agree to work for a fair wage. So he does this at 6, 9, noon, 3. And then at 5 o'clock, it's almost quitting time, he goes into the city and there's still people looking for work. And he says to these people, "Why are you standing around? What are you doing? Why are you just standing here? Let's go. I've got work for you to do." And these people, they agree to do the work that they're being asked to do, if only for an hour until it's quitting time. They say, "Sure, we'll go and help you out. Sure, we'll be your laborer for this amount of time." But nothing is said about how much they're going to make. Wages are not even spoken of. They just agree and they say, "Hey, might as well. Let's go work." Well, quitting time rolls around, that whistle blows, it's probably 6 p.m., and the time has come for them to receive their day's pay. Now, the people on this side, you are going to be the workers for the day. Everybody that is sitting along your left on this right side, kind of scooch to the edge. You're the workers for the day. Francis, you were hired first. On back towards Nelson. Nelson, you were one of the last ones hired. So the owner, the landowner, and you can turn around and watch me if it's not going to be that interesting, but you're allowed to turn around. The landowner instructs his manager to go and start at the back of the group with the person that was hired last in the day and to pay them their denarius for the day. So he goes to this person hired last that worked 1 hour. Nelson, I know you're a harder worker than that. He goes to Nelson and he holds out his hand and the manager places in his hand a single denarius. The manager then goes to the next person in line who had worked a few hours less and he places a single denarius in his hand. And he goes right down the line, one after another. People that had been hired later in the day were all getting a single denarius from the manager. Now the people that are sitting close to the front, people like Francis that began the day at 6 a.m., has put in 12 hours of labor for the day. 12 hours. And Francis is looking back here. She's like, "Nelson got a full denarius. Nelson only worked 1/12 of the time that I worked. I worked 12 hours. Can you say that?
I worked 12 hours.
And Nelson worked 1 hour. Can you say that? Well, he got a full denarius. You're expecting to get at least 12, right? He worked 1/12 as much as you did. You're expecting 12 denarius. And I'm getting closer and closer, and you're thinking, it is going to be payday. I'm going to make some serious coin today. But the manager's getting closer. And Ryan, you've worked from 9 a.m. You get a single denarius. And I come to Francis. Poor Francis. Has worked all day, 12 hours. She reaches out her hand. No. She reaches out both hands. She reaches out her bag and opens it, expecting a big payday. And Francis receives a single denarius. You can keep it. You worked hard for that denarius. You can keep it. Frances is a little bit frustrated. She's worked all day long, 12 hours in the hot summer sun, harvesting grapes. Nelson has worked 1 hour, barely got any grapes at all, and he got paid the same as she did. Well, the landowner begins to hear some grumbling amongst the people. And they say this, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." This is Francis' statement here. She's not happy. She only got one denarius. So did Nelson, who only worked 1/12 as much as she did. She's not happy about this. But the landowner says, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you, don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Wow. You know what? I'm right there with you, Francis. Hope you don't mind if I pick on you. I'm right there with you. And I think it's probably something in the way I was raised, something in the way I was brought up. But there's something within me that values hard work. I was taught growing up, you know, you get up at 4 a.m. and those cows need milked and they need fed. And growing up, I always had to do chores. Even when I was a young boy, I remember hauling hay bales that were as big as me, dragging them along the ground. Work was instilled in me. I knew I had to do this. I had to earn my keep. As I went through college, I almost always worked while I was in college. My last semester, I worked 40 plus hours at a job just to put myself through college. And I was married at the time, which was a bad financial decision. But we did it, and we made it work. And I had to work. I put myself through college without any debt. I learned the value of hard work. And it seems to me that the more you work, the more effort you put into it, the more you should receive, the more valuable your time has been to other people. You should receive more than the person that's only worked for 1 hour. I mean, this is the backbone of capitalism, isn't it? You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You work hard, you get more. That's the way it works here in America. But here Jesus is saying that this landowner is giving everybody the same amount of money. And it seems to me, and it seems to other people as well, that Jesus seems to be endorsing laziness. Because if it was between Francis working 12 hours and Nelson working 1 hour and they both get paid the same amount, if I had to choose which one of those persons I was going to be like, you know what, Nelson, you're looking like a pretty wise guy back there. And you've been called a wise guy before, I'm sure, but you're looking pretty smart from where I'm sitting. I mean, you can sleep in till noon and then, you know, get up and maybe eat some pancakes at 12:30. Go out and do a little bit of yard work. Maybe help Auntie out a bit if you wanted to. Either way, it doesn't matter. You're going to get paid the same. You'll watch a little bit of Oprah in the afternoon. Dr. Phil, I think, comes on at 3 o'clock or something. Who knows? And then you show up at 5 o'clock, work for 1 hour, and you get paid the same as Francis? That seems like a pretty slick deal for that guy. And what Jesus seems to be saying here, it sounds like he's endorsing laziness. And I think that this is the problem with, I'm going to correct that, don't worry, that's not what I'm saying here. The problem with this is it's the same problem that we have with communism, with a big C, the communism system, is that if everybody gets paid the same, if there's no real motivation to work harder, to work more, to be innovative, then what's your motivation at all to do anything? If everybody's going to get one denarius, why bother working at all? Now, I think that that's one of the problems with a parable. And that is that parables can be misinterpreted. So I come to this onion. And if I gave you this onion, you wouldn't eat this outside layer, would you? Ryan would eat this outside layer. But you wouldn't start with that one. The first thing that we do when we get an onion is sometimes we peel off that outside layer. And I'm not going to peel this thing. We'd be smelling it all day long, so we take off the outside layer. I do a little bit for symbolism. That outside layer is thrown away. It's thrown into the compost heap. We throw it out. We don't use it. The first outside layer is often not what Jesus is trying to communicate with a parable. And I say this. I believe that this parable is not intended to condemn or condone any particular economic system. This parable is intended to provide insight into who God is. So, we go deeper. We go to that first layer. And the first layer that I find is this one interpretation. I think it's very credible interpretation. Now, I'm not going to tell you which interpretation is right and which one's wrong. We're going to go through three different layers, three different interpretations. And at the end of the day, I'm going to let you decide or help me decide which one's correct. But the first layer that I come to on this onion is that God is a God of compassion. That this parable is about the compassion of God. We look at these workers and we realize that they all got paid the same amount. They got paid one denarius. And I said at the beginning that one denarius is the amount that a person would need to put enough food on their table for 1 day for their family. So when God talks, well, when Jesus talks about God being a landowner who gives everybody one denarius, it seems to be saying that God is a God who cares about all of us. That God is a God who provides the things we need, the basic necessities for life. Myron Augsburger says this in his commentary on Matthew. He says, this is a story of God's compassion. The worker that started at the end of the day needed as much money to feed his family as the person who worked all day. The person that began the day at 6 a.m., the Frances Weavers of the group, Frances began working in the vineyard because she knew she had to put food on the table for her family. She has children to feed, clothe, and put a roof over their head. She began that workday knowing that if she wanted to provide for her family, she needed to work a full day to earn that denarius. Now, when Nelson began the day at 5 p.m., this guy was probably thinking, you know what, I need whatever I can get at this point. I need a little something just so I can buy some scraps, so I can get some leftovers, so I can get the day-old bread at the bakery, whatever it might be. Nelson, this worker hired at 5 p.m., just wanted to be able to get by, just thought he could get something for his family. He never expected the landowner to give him a full day's wage. He never expected a full denarius. He just thought, whatever I can get, I'm going to take it because I am a person who loves my family and I need to provide for them. But when the landowner provides a full day's pay, he sees the compassion of the landowner because he knows Nelson's situation. God is a God of compassion. That's layer number one. Let's go next, layer deep. So the next interpretation that we come to is the love of God. Is this a parable about the love of God? As we read through this parable again, we see that these people that were hired, let me go to verse 6. These people that have been hired at 5 p.m., the landowner approaches them and he says, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" He doesn't say, why have you been sitting at home watching soap operas, or why have you waited to get up until noon eating your pancakes late in the morning, early afternoon? Why are you so lazy? Evidently, these people have been in town. These people are looking for work. They've been trying to find somebody that would employ them. They've been standing here all day. Granted, they've been doing nothing, but they've been there. And they reply, because no one has hired us. It's not that they aren't looking for work. It's not that they're not trying to provide for their family. It's that they can't find work. Now, this should be something that is all too familiar to us living here in the 21st century. And maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but we're kind of living in a period of a recession. A lot of people don't have work. A lot of people that want to be working can't find work. And a lot of those that do have jobs are what we call underemployed. They aren't working at jobs that fully utilize their skills and their experience. So these people understand what it's like to not be able to be employed when they really want to have a job. Those people that were hired at 5 p.m., they wanted to have a job, but nobody had hired them. Okay, the people on the right side, you were the workers earlier in our sermon time. People on the left side, you can now be the owners. And I want the people here on this side, you landowners, to tell me if you were hiring somebody to work in your vineyard, what kind of person would you hire? Name a few attributes of the person that you would be looking to hire. Dependable. Responsible. Hardworking. Skilled. Trustworthy. Good. Conscientious, you're all doing really good. Not saying the ones I expected yet. Experienced. Somebody say pretty? Nice, easy on the eyes, right? I'll keep my thoughts to myself. I'm thinking of some physical attributes as well. How about flexible, strong? You have to be flexible to pick grapes. I'll get the story behind that later. Grapes, I think, they grow all the way down to the ground. So I would look for somebody that can touch their toes. I can't see my toes, let alone touch them. I probably wouldn't be the first one hired. I have some back issues. I'd be looking for somebody with long arms, maybe long skinny arms, that they can reach through the grape clusters and bring them out and harvest them. So I'm thinking about all the attributes of the people that I would hire if I was the landowner. And then I think about the people that are still looking for work at 5 p.m. If the healthy, the strong, the flexible, the honest, those with experience were the ones that are snatched up first, who is left? It's the crippled, the old, the weak, the scoundrels, the people that you can't trust, those that just look a little shady. These are the people that are left. And they say, nobody has hired us to work in their vineyards. And along comes this landowner that represents God, and he says, I want you. Where everybody else is saying, you're not even worth a denarius to me. I don't even want you on my vineyard. Even though there's all this work to do, I don't even want you to come to my home, to my place. I don't want you near my family and my equipment and my fancy schmancy tractors and whatever else they might have. God comes in and says, I choose you. Nobody else wants you. Nobody else values you. Nobody else thinks you're worth a denarius. But I want you. The love of God. It seems to me that it's very possible that this parable is not just talking about the compassion of God, but it's talking about how God loves each and every one of us, each and every person, regardless of who you are, what you've done. God loves us all the same. I think this sheds some light on verse 12. I want to bring verse 12 up here again and highlight one of the phrases. After those that had worked all day received their denarius, they said, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Yeah, you don't catch that usually when you read through the passage. But when you think about it like this, these people aren't complaining because those that were hired at 5 p.m. got paid the same as those that got hired at 6 a.m. These people are complaining because the landowner is saying they are worth as much as they are. They are valued as much as they are. That the crippled and the beggars and the blind and the deaf and the tax collectors and the sinners and the people that you don't even want to associate with are worth as much as the strong, the handsome, the good-looking, the pretty. Wow. I think the problem that they're seeing here is that Jesus is saying that God values us all the same. Regardless of what you do, you can't work to achieve more of God's approval. And I know this flies against everything that I feel in my heart, in my being. Again, I talked about capitalism. In capitalism, in our social society, we value people that can earn money, people that can make things, people that are valuable to us. If you can get something from somebody else, if they do something for you, that person is worth more to you. And I think, well, if only I can preach the best sermon possible, God will love me more. If only I go and visit more sick people, God will love me more. If I give more money to the poor, God will love me more. Well, perhaps Jesus is saying here that the ones hired at 5 o'clock are just as valued as the ones hired at 6. And I think if we back up in today's scripture, if we go to chapter 19 in Matthew, we find a little bit of an insight of what might have caused Jesus to tell this parable. Because in chapter 19, we find Peter saying this. Peter, always the shy one. Chapter 19, verse 27. He boasts to Jesus. He says, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Look at me, God. Look what I did. Like me more. Love me more. Want me more. I am impressive. And then Jesus goes and tells a story about the love of God, how all are valued the same in the eyes of God. That's layer number two. Layer number three of our onion. Is this parable about the grace of God? Now, this is the way I've always understood this parable, that this is about grace. And again, we go back to chapter 19 of Matthew to understand the context in which Jesus told this parable. And in chapter 19, we find the story of a man that we often call the rich young ruler. And in the story of the rich young ruler, this young man who's got everything going for him comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, keep the Ten Commandments." And this very humble man says, "Well, I have kept the commandments ever since I was a young man." Jesus then tells him that liars don't go to heaven. No. Jesus goes and tells him that if he really wants to be perfect, if he really wants to please God, that he must sell everything that he owns, give the money to the poor, and follow him. The rich young ruler goes away sad, disappointed, discouraged, because he had so much stuff and he wasn't willing to give it up. And this prompts Jesus to say something, a bit of a proverb, if you will. He says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven." This is where Peter responds by saying, "Well, look at us, Lord. We've given everything up to follow you." And Jesus does acknowledge, "Yes, you have, Peter." But then he seems to launch into this story, this parable, about the workers in the vineyard. And again, in the story of the workers in the vineyard, we got people that are like Peter, that have sold everything, given everything up, not necessarily sold it in the parable, but they've given everything they have and given it all day long, worked in the vineyards for the master. And there's others that come along and they can't give much. They're weak, they're powerless, but they still get paid the same. Remember that those who worked all day were upset because those who only worked an hour had not earned what they received. And that is the point of grace. You don't earn it. It's a gift. That giving of the denarius to the worker who only worked 1 hour, he didn't earn the denarius. He earned 1/12 of a denarius. But he got paid. That's grace. You don't earn grace. It is a gift. So, as we come to the end of this sermon, as we've peeled back 3 layers of this onion, I ask you, which one do you think is right? Which one is correct? Is this a parable about the compassion of God? Is this a parable that tells us about how God loves all of us and wants to make sure that we have the things that we need to get by? Or is this a parable about the love of God? That regardless of who we are and what we've done, whether we are a pastor or a prostitute, a treasurer or a tax collector, a deacon or a demonic, regardless of who we are or what we've done, God loves us the same. Or is it a parable about the grace of God? That God gives out grace to whomever God chooses and he gives it freely. Which is it? Florence, you're so smart. Yes. All of the above. After we took off that initial peeling of this onion, we can peel back multiple layers. But each one of those layers is good onion. Each one of those layers is something that can give us nourishment. Each one of those layers can provide the things that our body needs to operate correctly. So I don't believe that this parable is about just one aspect of God. I do believe this parable helps us to understand the compassion of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. That's the beautiful thing about parables. They aren't one-dimensional. They can reveal to us many, many things. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks today that you are a compassionate, loving, and graceful God. That you have called us to be your instruments of compassion, love, and grace here on earth. Help us, Lord, as we read through the Bible to understand that you are a complex being. And we thank you that you have given us your word to help reveal to us who you are and what you have called us to do. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.